Welcome to the Deep Dive, the place where we unlock the secrets of emerging tech and really figure out why it matters to you.
Today, we're tackling something that I think a lot of people are thinking about.
Absolutely. We're talking about personal assistants, but with a huge twist, one that doesn't spy on you. We are diving into Leon AI.
Right.
If you've ever wanted that convenience, you know, of a digital helper, but without that feeling that some big company is listening in on your living room, this is for you.
It's a very common feeling these days.
It is. We're talking about an open source, totally private, and self-hosted virtual assistant. But before we get into why Leon is sometimes called a virtual brain, we really want to thank the supporter of this deep dive.
Of course.
This show is brought to you by SafeServer. So if you're looking to host software just like Leon and you need some support for your digital transformation, SafeServer is there for you.
You can find all the info at www.safeserver.de.
Okay, so let's unpack this. We've all used the big name digital assistants,
yeah, sure,
but they all work on a trade. You give them your data for convenience.
That's the deal.
Yeah. Our mission today is to figure out what makes Leon fundamentally different. We want to focus on its core idea of ownership and the really cool modular architecture behind it.
And that's the hook right there. Leon is designed to be your virtual brain, but, and this is the critical part, this brain can live entirely on your server.
On my server, not theirs.
Exactly. That's the whole shift. It's an assistant that does stuff when you ask it to, whether you're talking or just typing. You control the entire relationship.
So functionally, it's similar to what we already know, but the whole infrastructure is flipped upside down.
Completely inverted.
So why lead with open source? What does that MIT license, which I know the creator chose, what does that actually mean for a regular person?
It means freedom.
Yeah.
And it means speed of development. The MIT license is basically the most permissive one out there.
So no strings attached.
Pretty much. It signals that the goal is growth, it's contribution. With almost no restrictions, anyone can see the code, they can change it, use it for their own stuff, commercial or not, and then contribute back.
So you're not just a user.
You're part of a community that actually owns the tool.
And that idea of ownership feeds directly into its main selling point, which is privacy.
Yes, that is the central pillar. This is where Leon goes head to head with all the concerns about data tracking from commercial AI.
Because it's on my server.
Exactly. You are in complete control of your data. No conversation goes to the third-party server unless you explicitly set it up that way. And the source material really highlights this. You can configure Leon to work while being completely offline.
Wait, okay. Offline mode. That's a total game changer.
It is.
If you're talking about sensitive business data or just conversations in your own home, that gives you complete digital sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
But here's a question then. If I host it myself, am I sacrificing all the power of, you know, massive cloud computers?
And that's the exact challenge Leon is built to solve. It uses its modularity to stay powerful while keeping you in control. The whole goal is to automate stuff and make your virtual life easier, right? So it uses this really flexible structure to manage all that complexity right there locally.
So tell me about that structure. It's not just one big program, is it? It's built on a system of modules they call skills.
Correct. Think of Leon's core as like the central nervous system.
Yeah.
It's the conductor. The skills are the individual musicians in the orchestra.
Yeah, I like that analogy.
Each skill is a tiny self-contained module that does one specific thing. It could check the weather, manage your calendar, control your smart lights, anything.
So if I want Leon to learn something new, I don't have to update the entire system. I just add a new skill.
Precisely. It makes it super scalable without making the core program bloated or fragile. The structure lets anyone, you know, any developer out there, create their own skills and then share them.
Like an app score for abilities.
That's a great way to put it. The creators even say there is only one core to rule them all, to keep it all consistent. And the plan is to build a dedicated skill registry platform.
So like NPM for JavaScript or pip for Python?
Exactly like that. But just for Leon's automation skills, it'll make finding and installing new abilities super simple.
That's really elegant. But let's look behind the curtain for a second. The repository, the actual code, has a bunch of different parts. What are those other things doing? Like, why does a personal assistant need a TCP server?
Yeah, that gets a little technical, but it's all about performance. The different parts of Leon need to talk to each other, and they need to do it fast. You have the main server, the skills, the web app for the interface, and the hot word node that's always listening for you to say its name.
So they're all separate processes.
They are. And the TCP server is like the internal switchboard. It just makes sure data gets passed between all those different parts reliably and quickly. And since so many AI tools are written in Python, they also needed a dedicated Python bridge.
To translate, basically.
To translate, yeah. It lets the JavaScript core talk seamlessly with all the Python AI libraries they need to use.
That paints a much clearer picture. It's like a distributed system in a box. So speaking of cutting-edge tools, what's the current state of development? I read the dev branch was going through some major changes around June 2024.
It is. The biggest shift is the integration of what are called foundation models.
Okay, for a beginner, what does that mean?
Think of foundation models as those huge general-purpose AI brains, like the ones that power the most famous chatbots you hear about. Leon is starting to use those, but, and this is key in a hybrid approach.
Hybrid. So it's not just using that massive AI brain for everything.
No, because that would be really slow and heavy for a self-hosted assistant. Their hybrid model is smart. It balances the power of those big models for complex tasks, like, say, summarize this long email for me, with simpler, faster techniques for basic commands.
Like turn on the light.
Exactly. For something simple like that, it uses a much lighter, almost instant classification method. It only calls in the big guns, the foundation models, when it actually needs that extra brain power.
So you get the best of both worlds. Speed for simple things and power for complex ones.
Optimal speed and accuracy without sacrificing that local first efficiency.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me. The AI toolbox itself. How does Leon get its ears and mouth in a way that still respects my privacy?
Right. We're talking about three core AI concepts here. NLP, or natural language processing, which is for understanding what you mean.
The brain part.
The brain part. Then TTS, or text-to-speech, for its voice. And STT, speech-to-text, for listening to you.
And I, the user, get to choose which tech I want for all of those.
You get total control. Absolute control. This modularity means you can choose what you're comfortable with. If you want the absolute best performance and the clearest voice, you can connect it to cloud services like Google Cloud, AWS, or IBM Watson.
But if I'm doing this whole thing for privacy, I'd want the local options. Are they any good? Are they robust enough?
They're getting better all the time. And yes, there are strong offline options. For text-to-speech, you have tools like CMU Flight. For the listening part, speech-to-text, they support Koki SDT, and more are on the way.
What's the trade-off then?
The trade-off is usually a little bit of speed, and maybe the voice doesn't sound quite as natural as the big cloud ones. But for people who are serious about privacy, the peace of mind you get from running it all locally is, well, it's often worth that small dip in quality.
It's just amazing how the flexibility is built into every single layer, from the core right down to the voice engine. Now, open source projects like this live and die by their community. For someone listening who's getting excited about this, how is it all maintained and how can they get involved?
Leon is really driven by that idea that the more skills he has, the more skillful he becomes. The author, Louis Grenard, is big on community. He encourages people to join their Discord channel to share ideas or, you know, even contribute code.
And building something this complex has to take a ton of time.
It does.
It's mostly a spare time project, so what's the plan for sustainability?
Yeah.
To make sure it doesn't just, you know, fade out.
That's a super important point for any big open source project. The source material notes that, at the end of the day, sustainability is key. The author has bills to pay, right?
We all do.
We all do. So sponsoring the project lets him and other core contributors dedicate more real focused time to it instead of just grabbing a few hours here and there. Financial support helps turn a passion project into, well, a full-time dedicated job.
That makes perfect sense. Okay, let's get practical. For anyone listening who's ready to install this virtual brain on their own machine, what do they need to get started?
It's actually not as scary as it sounds. You just need a few standard things installed first. This is for Linux, macOS, or Windows. You need a modern version of Node.js and its package manager, NPM.
Okay, Node.js and NPM. Got it.
And we always recommend using the latest stable versions. It just helps avoid headaches down the line.
So once that's on my machine, what's the first Leon-specific step?
The first step is to install the Leon command line interface, or CLI. You just open your terminal and type npm install global at leon.icli. That one command gives you the main tool to manage Leon.
Okay.
Then, to actually download all the files and set up your assistant, you run a really simple, kind of cool command, Leon Create Birth.
Leon Create Birth. I like that.
Yeah, it downloads everything, gets the whole structure ready. For beginners, we definitely say stick to the stable version for now, especially with the big changes we talked about happening on the development branch.
Good tip. And then to actually fire it up.
You just run Leon Start, the server will boot up, and then you just open a web browser and go to http.localhost.1337.
And that's it.
That's it. You should see the web interface ready for you to configure skills and start talking to your own private AI. They've really tried to make self-hosting less intimidating.
This has been a really fascinating deep dive. Leon AI is clearly this powerful, privacy-first, and super customizable assistant that's built by and for its community.
Yeah, it's more than just an alternative.
It really is.
Yeah.
It feels like it's demanding a higher standard for how we think about our data.
And that kind of leads us to a final provocative question for you to talk about. If we connect the rise of these open source self-hosted AIs like Leon to the bigger picture, how will this shift change what we expect from technology? Will self-hosting tools like this eventually make us see those big centralized assistants as being, fundamentally broken because they're missing the most important feature, privacy?
That is something to mull over as you decide what tech you want in your life and where you want to draw that line on your own digital sovereignty. Thank you again to SafeServer for supporting this deep dive into open source architecture. You can learn more about how they can help with your software hosting and digital transformation at www.safeserver.de.
We'll catch you next time.
We will for another deep dive.